Today's share in the Dear Shem Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to be finishing up Simin Tof Mem Vav today, which deals with the halachas of finding chometz on Pesach. And we begin very top line, very top word, Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Gagol Shel Eino Yehudi. You have a rooftop of a non-Jewish person who's adjacent to the house of a Jewish person. Shaya Samuch LeGagol Shel Yisrael. So you have two adjoining houses. The non-Jewish person's roof is adjacent to the Jewish person's roof, and he has chametz up on his roof. The non-Jewish person. V'niz Galgel HaChometz MiGagol, and he's making a barbecue up there, and he has some bread, some rolls that fly off his roof, and they roll down into the roof of the Jewish person. V'niz Galgel HaChometz MiGagol Shel Eino Yehudi. And now the Jewish person in the middle of Pesach has these chometz dikur rolls on top of his roof. What should he do? In this situation, you're allowed to push it aside with a reed, return it, push it back to the non-Jewish person's roof. However, if this was on Shabbos or Yontif itself, not on Chol HaMoed, full of kli, then you just put a utensil, a container of some sort on top of it, as we've already described before in the previous simonim and sifim, because the osur letaltal, the Rama says, b'yom tov v'shabbos, because it's muktza on Shabbos and Yontif, and you're not allowed to go and move it. And therefore you cover it up so you don't come to eat it by accident, and after Yontif you can do the pushing it back onto the non-Jewish person's roof. Now, you're not over by Yerah, by Yematz over here, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot and Tess. Av de'en ha-chomet shelo. This chomet is not yours. Just the fact that it rolled onto your roof from his roof doesn't make it yours. Ve'en over by Yerah, by Yematz, you're not going to be over here owning chomet, because you don't. It's not yours. Mikol makom, nevertheless, osur li hashoso birishusa. You're not going to let it stay in your rooftop, in your possession. Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to go up in the roof and you're going to forget that it's Pesach. You're going to see this delicious roll over there and you're going to eat it. And therefore, you have to get rid of it from your rooftop, even though you're not over by your raw, by your matzeh, but so that it shouldn't be a takala for you, that you shouldn't come to forget yourself and go and eat it over here. And therefore, you can push it back to the non-Jewish person's roof with a kana, with a reed of some sort. Sifkot Yud, the Mishnah Berurah explains, V'liga bo b'yodayim also, you must sweep it with a broom or some sort of a reed, but you can't pick it up with your hands and toss it there. That you're not allowed to do. To touch this chometz item with your hands, you're not allowed to. Why? Again, dilma osi l'mechal mine, because you may come to eat from it. If you go and touch it, you'll forget yourself. V'yafagav the chometz shelo metaltalo v'sorfu b'chol hamoed. As we've already learned, ukidel b'sif aleph, you're allowed to go and take your chometz on Chol HaMoed, pick it up with your hand, and go and burn it with your hand over here. You can carry it. There, we're not concerned that you're going to come to eat it. Why over here are we concerned you may come to eat it? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, Hasam Shaina, when we learned in Sif Aleph, it was different over there with your chometz. The kivan shehu mechazer olav l'sorfo. You're, what are you doing? You're going to burn the chametz. There's no chance. Lo chayshina, we're not concerned. Shema yishkach v'yuchlenu. In the middle of your, I'm going to burn my chametz, I'm going to burn my chametz, you're going to put it in your mouth and eat it. So that's unlikely. Over here, however, where you don't have any obligation to go and burn it, if you left it there on your rooftop, you may forget yourself and go and eat it. Sivkot Yadalef, we bring down the Ramah that said, you're not allowed to touch it on Shabbos or Yontif itself. You have to wait to Chol HaMoed or after Pesach in order to get rid of it. So the Mishnah Berurah explains as if cutting it off. Hainu af ayde dechifa bakana. You're not even allowed to go and push it over here with this reed or with this broom that you want to do and push it back from your roof to his roof on Shabbos or Yontif. Because the tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. Because on Yontif over here, or Shabbos, it still is called Tiltum and Atzad, that it's considered significant. Oftentimes we say Tiltum and Atzad is not significant, and we've explained that the overriding principle is, when you want the place over here, then it's not considered a problem to do Tiltum and Atzad. But if you're doing it for the item itself, so then it is a problem of Tiltum and Atzad, and therefore you have to leave it in this situation until Chol HaMoed, V'yashenu ad Chol HaMoed, then, when it's Chol HaMoed, you can take the broom or the reed and push it back onto his area, onto his rooftop, or into the Rishus HaRabin, and then that's the way one should do it. Now, let's look at a couple of the Dirshu footnotes. Dirshu footnote number 17 brings down, why is there a difference over here that we're concerned that you may come to eat the chametz if you hold it, whereas va'af shebiyom ha-kippurim mutar lagas b'dover ma'echol. On Yom Kippur, you are allowed to prepare food, let's say, and touch the food on Yom Kippur. Kimosha Kosov Ramola, come on, as we were learning Yitzhak Shem and the halachos of Yom Kippur and Simon Tofrei should base. The Ein Choshishim, we're not concerned by Yom Kippur, Shem Mitoch Shiyigabo, Yovel Yochlu. If you're going and holding the apple for your kid that you're preparing, then you may come to eat it. We're not concerned about that in Yom Kippur. Why not? So the Mishnah Berurah over there explained, only over here by chametz yesh chashash shema yovel yochlo. With the chametz, we're concerned that since you can eat all these other things, you may come to eat the chametz too. You'll forget. Kivin shem Pesach ain't a bodil mishar divrei ma'achol shenum chametz. On Pesach, we have a lot of foods that we can eat, and therefore, since we're eating all these other foods, we may come to forget and eat the chametz as well by accident if we don't get rid of it. Masha ein kein biyom haKippurim shu bodo mikol haMacholim. On Yom Kippur, nobody's eating anything. Therefore, we're not concerned that you may come to put this food into your mouth. And lo choshem ma'im yigaba Michael, if you touch the food, yovel liochlo, you're going to come to eat it. Another reason, v'od shu biyom haKippurim machmas emas yom hadin. Ein lo choshem ma'yovel lecho v'lavol isur hayom. On Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur, and a person is so awestruck about the severity and the solemnity and the seriousness of the day. It's Yom HaDin, and therefore a person isn't going to forget himself and eat something. But by Pesach, it's a wonderful Yontif, and you're eating all these delicious things. You may come to forget yourself and eat that as well. And by the way, the Bir Halacha points out that we're not even allowed to smell chametz. Afal hariach chametz, the Bir Halacha taught us she'asur, because of this chashash, this great concern, sheyavo lecho mimenu, that you may come to eat it. Therefore, we're much stricter with chametz than we are in these other entities. The issue footnote number 8 he brings down, normally, we do allow a person to go and take a knife and sweep off the krishkas, as my father, Oliver Shalom, used to call them, the crumbs off the table. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and the Shaar HaTzion as well, in the name of the Prima Godim, She'ein hadvarim amurim el she'ose kein litzorach dover hamuter. You're only allowed to go sweep off the table from the crumbs if you need the table. It's for a dover hamuter. Kigon she'rotz lishtamis b'mokum shebo munachas haklipos. You need the place where the crumbs are, where the bones are left over, whatever is left over here on the table. That's why you're allowed to do this tiltum min hatzad. However, if in fact shelo litzorach dover hamuter, you're not doing it for permissible purposes, but you're doing it just to move the non-movable item, the muktzah item, then tiltul min hatzad is also not allowed. Here it is considered, as the Mishnah Berurah said, tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. This is considered a significant tiltul. The issue footnote number 19 that brings down, however, lahazis is a chometz beraglo, to kick it with your foot, that's already a different story. And the Bir Halach and Simon Reish Samach Vav taught us over there, the Mishnah Berurah as well, the Indian hamotzi arnaki b'Shabbos, if you find the wallet on Shabbos, and you're afraid that somebody else is going to come and take it, and in this situation, tiltul b'raglo yesh lahaka, we do allow you to go kick it with your foot, that's allowed, kiven shet the tiltul ayide gufo, eino nechshav tiltul klal, because using your body to move it is not considered tiltul. However, he brings down for the Chazon Ish, she'ein hetu l'taltu muktzah b'raglo, he disagrees with this. Unless LMK metatalo derech hilucho, unless it's a normal part of walking, veino oses apula letzorach tiltul muktzah, and you're not doing this specifically for the tiltul of the muktzah item itself. Now we go to Sif Dalet. The Mechaber writes, moso pas bepesach beveso. If you find a piece of, now he calls it pas, it sounds like it's bread, but it means a bread-like object, because in those days they make much thicker matzos than we make today, and one could look at a piece of bread and not be able to say that it's bread versus matzah. Today, bread looks like bread and matzah looks like matzah. But in those days, they made a much thicker matzah. So if somebody finds this pas on Pesach and they don't know, beveso, in their house, and they do not know, and they cannot tell by looking at it, and they do not know, is a chametza matzah. So the Mechaber brings down, mutter afilu biachila. The simple understanding over here is that you would even be allowed to eat this on Pesach itself. Although, we'll see, in the Bir Halacha, the Rabbeinu Chananel says they were talking here about that you'd be allowed to eat it after Pesach. But the simple reading over here is mutar afilu b'achila. You're allowed to rely upon the fact the azlinan basar basra. Anything that you find right now, mistama, is from the current bread that you baked, which is matzah, which is kosher l'Pesach. Because you did a bedika, you did a beer of any chametz that you had, and you've been baking fresh matzah, and what you're finding right now is probably from the current matzah and not from chametz. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yud Beis explains, Din zehu lefi minog zmanam. That was according to the way they made matzah in their days. She often matzos ovek etzatz. They made much thicker matzahs than we have today. V'ayu chalukin b'sarim, and they weren't any physically different mikikaros shel chometz. They looked exactly like the bread that they ate all year round. So you couldn't tell by looking at a matzah or bread whether it was matzah or bread. And therefore, Sivkot Yud Gimel, you can rely upon the most likely explanation is that it's from made on Pesach. And the Mishnah Berurah says, since you only have matzah in the house, so if you find something, you can rely upon the fact that it's matzah. Likewise, you did a bedikah before Pesach, and you can state with certainty that there's no chametz in your house. And therefore, it certainly is the matzah that you have baked on Pesach, and it's not from stuff that was from pre-Pesach, i.e. chametz. Because of achronim, the Mishnah reads further, even if you find this pass in a hole, in a pit, or in a crack in the ground, we don't worry that maybe you missed it when you did the bedikah. Shemin hastam, because the default position is that you checked in all the holes and in the cracks. Commotion is barleil b'simon taf lamagil, as we already explained, and therefore if you find it now there, you can assume it is matzah. But this is only true, the Mishnah says, v'dafka kishagum magula. That's if the pit over here is open, and you clearly would have seen it when you were doing your bedika. Alve motza pas begumo she'eno niris lakol. But if you find it hidden away in a hole that wasn't really easily visible to everybody, and therefore you could have easily have missed it. For example, kigam moshematza becharitz, you find it in some sort of a crevice over here, or bishulei ateva, or in the bottom part of some utensil container of some sort. Umuchusa bekarshe shulei ateva, and it's really covered up by the bottom part of the teva, the chest over here, the walls of the chest, they ain't no near like all, and it wouldn't be clearly visible to everybody. Then, yesh lach shema pas zuhi chametz. Then you have to be concerned that maybe you missed this when you did your bedika, and this is really chametz over here, and it's not pas that is matzah. And therefore, v'chay levara miyad, and you have to burn it right away. Now, that's a simple understanding over here. According to the opinion, it says you'd even be allowed to eat it on Pesach. But now, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, Ayin debir halacha masha kosav de b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel, be'ikar dino desifseh. And he says the Rabbeinu Chananel over there has a different opinion and has a totally different understanding of this sif. And he writes as follows. You can see this in the Bir Halacha, Dibra Maschu, Mutra, Afila Bachila, the Azlin and Basa Basra. So the Chofetz Chaim writes that the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, the three pillars on which all our halachas are based, Hishmitu din zelagamre. They don't even mention this din that the Mechaber brought down over here. Now, the Feirish Rabbeinu Chananel should be a deno. He brings down from the Rabbeinu Chananel, and you'll see how highly he regards the Rabbeinu Chananel in a moment. And he's so thankful. Should be a deno. Asher yotzo keesli or beezus Hashem yisbarach. We just found this in the Chofetz Chaim's time, and it just came to print. Baruch Hashem, he says. Kosev lehedja b'haisugya, he explains our sugya differently. Shekol ikar din zehu rak ala achara pesach. Ayin Shom says, look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says this whole thing is talking about that you can eat it in this situation because you can presume it is real matzah and not chametz is only to eat it after Pesach. Move on time when he explains the Rabbeinu Chananel as follows. The al tocha pesach shuba kareis. You're not allowed to eat chametz or matzah, it's a chiv. Kareis rachmona litzlan. We never would, for a potential iser kareis, something that's absolutely aser over here, if it were to be chametz, to rely upon, well, it's probably not chametz, and therefore you can eat it. And it's only rak bela achara pesach, which is a din mit the rabbanon. Chametz shavala se pesach, according to most posts, is only the rabbanon. Afilu l'man d'yom mishud m'raisa, and even if you want to say like the opinions that say it's a din d'raisa, it's certainly not an issue of kareis. And therefore, that's why over here, the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Rif didn't bring this din down. They weren't certain about this over here, and therefore they just didn't bring it down at all. Ula Maisa, the Chofetz Chaim concludes, and he says, "Bavada ein lo hakel b'tzolcha pesach kineged Rabbeinu Chananel." You cannot go like the simple understanding of the Mechaber here, and eat this on Pesach, and go against the words of the Rabbeinu Chananel. And he says, "Shekol dvar v'hem divrei Kabbalah." From the Rabbeinu Chananel, we don't argue. He says the Rabbeinu Chananel is like a Kabbalah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, if he says that it's only allowed to be eaten after Pesach, you can only eat it after Pesach. Surprisingly, in Dershu footnote number 20, the Chazon Ish disagrees. And he writes, even on Pesach, he can follow the Pesach and the Mechaber. And he says, the Gemara says, Pashut Shapas Muteris. So, therefore, it doesn't put in all these ideas that it means only after Pesach. And therefore, the Bir Halacha over here, he says, if this were correct, why did the Gemara leave it out so everybody can make a mistake? And he says, there's another way to explain the Rechameinu Chananu, Ayin Sham, in the Chazon Ish, but the Chazon Ish says you would be allowed to even eat it on Pesach. Mechaber continues and he writes, V'imu me'ufosh harbe, if this bread is spoiled so much so, this pas over here, she efshalo lis'afish kol kach mishenichnas ha'pesach, there's no way it could have spoiled during Pesach that much, said Ozvad yuchametz, the only way it could have spoiled this much was if it was really chametz from before Pesach. And if enough days have gone by, that you could say over here that it spoiled on Pesach. So if in fact you go and bake fresh bread every day, then you can even go and say, even if it's very spoiled because of the heat of baking it every day, that it could have spoiled to this extent. Onu tolum lomar, we can rely upon b'chol yom ofa pascham, since you baked every day fresh bread, unesono olav, and you put one on top of the other, ulafikoch, hirbo l'safesh. That's why it became so spoiled during this period of time. If you're breaking every day, so then it could spoil a greater amount. Finally, the Bir Halacha and Dibra Maskel, Vimhu Me'ufosh Harbe, it's Mashwim, Shimhu Me'ufosh Ma'at. If it's only spoiled a little bit, then we can be Mekel over here, Shinesat Beish Beyom V'yomai Mimea Pesach. In the days that Pesach have come over here, it spoiled during the time of Pesach already, which means, Rosh Lomar, Shor V'yomim Harbe Mimea Pesach. Enough days of Pesach have gone by, they could have spoiled this amount. With this, we conclude Simen Tov Mem Vav and today's Shir.